You're listening to the Finding Enough podcast with Jessica Joy Holt, where we will be exploring stories and journeys of how we can find we are enough within ourselves, as well as meditations, mental resets, and more. I'm so glad you're here. Welcome.
Hi, y'all. Thank you so much for tuning in to Finding Enough today. I'm Jessica Joy, your host. And today with me, I have the beautiful and extremely talented Lori Kaufman. Hi, Lori.
Hello.
So I actually met Lori through Swift Movement Studio. Actually, it was a going away party for my boyfriend who moved. And she does all kinds of amazing things, from acro, making beautiful jewelry, astrology, tarot readings, all these like awesome things that tie together in all super neat ways. And so as we've developed our friendship, some really cool conversations have come about. And I just was so excited to convince her to come on here with me and talk about some of them. And so the first thing that I want to dive into with you, Lori, is kind of about your story and finding enough in some of the things that you do, like acro and astrology, and how that has helped you in your journey. Would you care to expand and tell us about you?
Sure thing. So my journey kind of started out with dance. And I've been dancing and moving my whole life, but I, in college, had decided that I no longer wanted to just participate. I wanted to teach. And so I got my Zumba license. It'll be 10 years this year. And I have been teaching Zumba for large groups since then. And Zumba kind of led me onto a different path in life. It's kind of made me realize that movement is so important, and being able to choreograph my own dances and do it my way was a lot more important to me than I think I realized beforehand. And moving forward, when I discovered acro, I was going through a really difficult time. And I had recently gone through a breakup, and I was just feeling very disconnected, disassociated from a lot of the people in my life. And I just felt like I needed a lot of change. I needed new. And I had a friend ask me if I wanted to come try acro. And I remember the first time she put me up into the basic pose. It's called bird, but it looked like airplane, which is what people do with little children.
Absolutely.
And she was telling me to disconnect my hands, and I just remembered death gripping her. Like, I was like, no way. Like, I'm terrified. I've never done anything like this. It was so far out of my comfort zone. And she finally just looked at me and she goes, "Relax. It's fine. Just do it." And I was like, "Okay, you're right. I'll just do it." And I remember when I finally took my hands away and lifted my chest and looked up, I was flying. And for the first time in my life, everything kind of felt like it was clicking. I felt like I was on the right path. Finally, it made me eat healthier, drink more water. Like, it completely changed the way I see the world. And it was the first time that I had ever done something that I was so bad at, but felt so determined to be good at it.
Yeah. And
I don't know why, but there was something about it that was just, I felt free. I felt like I was flying for the first time in my life. Anything was possible. And I know that seems really dramatic from just one acro pose, but it really was something that I really needed in life at that time. And in the past couple years, I have been discovering, I mean, I've always been into personality tests and anything creepy, anything scary, occult, like all of that stuff has always just been really interesting to me. But finding tarot and finding kind of seeking out answers was always something that I did. And understanding that my intuition kind of does connect to the body awareness that has come through dance and through movement and through acro, it's just made me realize how much all of this is really important. And the intuition that comes now from doing astrology and tarot full time, you have to be intuitive to understand how to have the conversations with other people when their cards come up, whether it's good or bad. Absolutely. And pulling in the astrology too, medical astrology has been something that's been really fascinating to me recently. And noticing where I feel uncomfort in the body and then pulling up my chart and being able to say, okay, my hands actually itch when I'm in uncomfortable situations, and Gemini rules the hands and Gemini is my 12th house. So it's when I'm finding out hidden secrets or feeling uncomfortable in my own skin or any of those type of things, that it all actually does communicate back together. And I think something about movement and understanding the body on a physical level is so important to understanding the body on a mental level. And that's something that's come to me through meditations and just a lot lately. It's been really feeling like all of these things are actually a lot more connected than we thought they were. Oh, than I thought they were.
Yeah. And I like you mentioned how you kind of found acro first and that brought you into your body, right? That gave you freedom to understand your body more and to be more in tune with it, because you have to be when you're in acro. You have to understand if you're flying or basing, right? Like that if somebody's about to fall or if you have them or where your alignment is when you're flying, you have to be able to trust that and know it and then being more in control of it. So having that awareness, that, like you said, that brings you more into understanding your own intuition, right? Because you need to be in your body to be able to be intuitive or understand your intuition, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the thing that drew me so far into acro is that I've always been a people person. I've always really needed other people around. And I've always kind of had some trust issues as well. So it was kind of cool to not only face those trust issues head on, but say, like, my life is basically in your hands right now. Like, you could drop me, you could hurt me. And then vice versa, when I started basing, it was kind of a very similar thing. And as a person in astrology, I have no earth in my chart. So as a person that doesn't naturally feel grounded, I feel like basing has really helped me to find some grounding and find some control and be able to help other people become the flyer, help other people kind of find that flight that changed my life so drastically. I feel like doing both has been such an important case. And then tying in all of it has just been so important. But I think there's something that's always deeply connected me to other people, and yeah, knowing that other people are so heavily involved, and there are risks in acro as well. I mean, not so much with the basic stuff, but once you get past a certain point, you can get pretty injured if you aren't careful. And so you have to just be completely aware, because if you stop paying attention for even a second, things can go wrong. All right. So it's definitely helped me get over a lot of hurdles, and it puts me into a meditative state that nothing else in the whole world can do.
That flow state where you're just totally present within yourself. I love that.
Yes, absolutely.
And I feel like from my experiences with acro, it teaches you a lot, like you said, trust and communication too. Cause you, like you said, when you get into more of those like washing machines and the things that are a little bit more complicated, you are putting yourself in a little bit of danger. If you like don't communicate well, can't trust your partner and you fall, you could totally hurt yourself or hurt the other person. So it teaches you a lot of great basics within yourself and with how to be with other people. That's so beautiful that you have that.
So. Yeah. Yeah. And it's so important to be so present and so aware of where you are in time and space, but also that communication has really helped me a lot in my life in general. I have tended to be the type of person throughout my early life that if somebody bothered me, I kind of just cut them out. Like, it was always just like, this isn't worth the drama. Goodbye. And so I think acro has kind of taught me that communication and relationships are more important than I had kind of seen them as. And so it's even helped me through communicating, whether it's a client for astrology or tarot, or relationships in my own life or friendships or even family, you know, like it's kind of just helped in general to be able to openly communicate more.
That makes so much sense. And yeah. One more thing on acro, because I'm obviously I'm a big fan myself. The playfulness side. Do you feel like that's influenced your life at all?
Yes. Oh, there he is. I think that has helped so much because I'm a very naturally creative person. And I think the thing that drew me towards Zumba was once you get your license for it, you can choreograph everything and nobody's watching you. Nobody's making sure you stick to the guidelines or any of that. And I had a hard time finding classes that I liked that mm-hmm. fit my personality or the dance moves that I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And so being able to create it myself also gave me an outlet of being able to say, hey, I'm not only dancing and teaching this, but this is mine. I've created this. So you're selling your whole self at that point. And with acro, it's very much the same thing. I've spent a lot of time questioning, oh, can you go from point A to point B? I don't know. Let's find out. And most of the time, the answer is yes, whether it's pretty or not. You can usually get from point A to point B if you try hard enough. But sometimes you can't. And the times that you can't are almost more fun than the times that you can, because it's just funny, you know, it just makes you laugh and it pulls out this childlike energy that nothing else has really been able to give me. And I was actually just talking about this on Monday night because I choreograph all of the flows that we teach in my weekly class as well. And after class, we all stuck around and my friend was just joking, what if he popped me hard enough? And we were working on pop 360s where you throw someone and then they do a 360 turn and then land and thrown right back to where you started. And we were joking around, like, what if we popped it? And then the spotter actually jumped in and caught it like scooped it and then walked away. And it worked on the first try, but it was so stupid and so ridiculous. And we were just like, why are we even trying? Like, how did we get here? Why did we get here? And it was one of those moments where we were all crying when it worked. Like, we were just laughing so hard that we were sobbing. And that was the kind of joy and energy that nothing else just really brings me. You know,
absolutely.
It's so different. And to be able to laugh that hard over something so stupid is so, it's so powerful to be able to share that with strangers oftentimes, or just people you just met, or people sometimes you've known your whole life. It just gives you a connection that's different.
Absolutely. That makes so much sense. It's like, it brings you into that childlike, joyful state. And it combines like this mindfulness and movement with creativity and flow and just being allowed to be fun and in the moment. And I feel like there's not a whole lot of things that people can do that gives them that. There are definitely different options out there. Everybody can find their own, but acro, I feel like, is one that is kind of special in that realm, and getting more popular and more well-known. So it is like such a beautiful way to share.
Yeah. And it's also really interesting because acro is one of the very few things in the world that isn't competitive. Like, there are no competitions for acro. They don't exist. And so it's interesting because that overly competitive type that tends to get into sports, you're never going to see that in acro, which is really interesting to think about, but it creates such a beautiful community because there is no competition. What are we fighting over? it just creates a safe space for everybody to meet each other where they're at, which I think is another thing that people don't often think about, but it kind of does add a whole nother level.
Oh, absolutely. It's like, we might not think about it too much, but it's something that I feel like a lot of us actually need. And when you come into that space where it's about creativity and communication, compassion and community, it's mm-hmm. just feels totally different than what that competitive state that a lot of us are used to when you show up somewhere that it's supposed to be like sports-like. So, right. Acro just kind of gives you a whole new perspective, and for so many reasons.
Right. Well, and it keeps you in shape unlike anything else. I mean, there's really no other full body workout that hits everything the way Acro does. If you combine flying with basing, mm-hmm. like there are so many weird ab muscles that you don't even know you have until the day after you base for the first time. And it makes you so strong, but it's all bone stacking. So you don't really need the strength, but after a while, when you get into the harder stuff, it is a lot more of the presses and everything. So it really makes your body change so drastically, and it turns you into somebody who's so different and strong and able to do all these things where it's like, when did I be able to do this? When did I become this? I've just been playing for 6 years.
Right. And it's like you mentioned earlier, it just brings you like this newfound freedom in your own body. And I feel like it might even bring more confidence because you're like, wow, I can fly, or I can do this, that we think a lot of times, just looking at the pictures, they'd be like, oh my God, I could never do that. But in the reality, you try it.
It almost gives you this delusional side, because especially like when I do photo shoots and I see the photos and I'm like, wow, we look like that. Like the photos were able to turn us into this. That almost makes you so delusional where you're like, I can do anything. If I can look like that, if I can do that, I can do anything.
And that's so beautiful.
It's so funny, but the way that it's just like translated into the rest of my life it's very entertaining, but it almost feels like anything's possible because of it. Cause you're literally defying gravity. So if I can do that, then
what else can stand in your way?
What else can you do? Yeah, exactly.
And I feel like, so that kind of mindset does tie in to like what we mentioned earlier about getting you into your intuition, because now you've kind of let go of, even though it might not sound like, well, what can stand in my way? It's like, you kind of are letting go of your ego then, because you're not living in fear as much. And being like, oh, I'm not going to be able to do that, which actually can be more ego. Instead, you're living in the more like, whatever you want to call it, intuitive, spiritual, divine state, where you're just like, let it flow, let it go. I can hear myself. I can feel myself. I can do whatever I want to bring into this life. So that probably helped you, right, get into that astral mm-hmm. realm where you were doing more of the tarot and listening to your body and the astrology stuff.
Yes. Awesome. It really did.
Awesome. So when you started to get more into astrology and tarot, how did you notice that kind of changed your journey more?
So astrology and tarot have always been something that spoke to me, that I found really interesting or fascinating. But it really wasn't until COVID hit, when my full-time job very drastically changed and I was doing something I absolutely did not see myself doing. And for the first time in my life, I didn't have my side jobs, the acro classes at night, my performances on weekends, all of the extra things I was doing, which made my full-time job tolerable, were now gone. And so it made me realize that life is short. And if we're going to be stuck in quarantine, I don't want to be also working a job that I hated. And so I started kind of seeking out anything that I could possibly do. And through one of my Zumba students, because the only thing that didn't get canceled during COVID was the free class at Summit Park on Sunday mornings. And that class grew up to 200 people in the middle of that summer. And the energy that I got there was life-changing, because I actually almost didn't take that class again.
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually almost let it go because I was kind of losing a lot of my passion for Zumba. Mm-hmm. Just in general, I wanted to focus more on acro and other things. And it made me stay in town every weekend because I couldn't get subs. And so I started reconsidering a lot of aspects of my life because of that. But last minute, I ended up deciding I couldn't let that class go for some reason. And I kept it. And one of my students in that class actually knew an astrologer who ended up being the astrologer who the podcast I listened to talked about her a lot, but she has a school program and they were close personal friends. So next thing I know, I'm on the phone with this astrologer and she looks at my chart and she's like, yeah, this is what you're supposed to be doing. This is what your Saturn return is about. All these other things. And her program kind of focused a little bit more on trauma and the program I did at least, and patterns. Everybody has patterns. And the thing that I've noticed from doing thousands of chart readings at this point,
yeah,
is every chart has two patterns. And typically there's one pattern that comes in childhood or like earlier on in life. And once you figure out that pattern and make peace with it or put an end, whatever, as soon as you kind of finalize that trauma, it leads you to the second pattern. So, for example, I saw one chart that was very clearly, she had a very difficult childhood, but she was meant to write a book. And I asked her about it, and it turned out she was actually writing a book about her childhood. And I was like, yep, I mean, that's what I see here. That's what you should be doing. And so the book looked like after her second, maybe even second Saturn return, she might get famous off of this book if she really pushes it. Like that was the highest variation of her chart.
Wow.
And so being able to kind of see how the patterning works. Most of what I do with chart readings, I try to avoid any of the shallow sun sign astrology, fun personality trait type of things, because yes, there are archetypes, of course, in all of the pieces, but how can this manifest in the best way and then the worst way? And how can we at least meet it somewhere in the middle? And figuring out the patterns that people have in life are so important because some people are very unaware of them.
Oh, absolutely.
And some people are very aware of them, but they're not doing anything about them. And how can we put an end to the pattern that's causing stress or causing pain? Because what they say in medical astrology is that all disease or whatever is formed from disease. It's all from stress. And they kept saying that over and over whenever medical astrology was brought up, which is now something that I've very deeply studied because I'm fascinated by it. But the things that go wrong or any pain or any little piece is so deeply connected to the area of life that it's pulling out. Like, example, Aries is my chart ruler and it's also my 10th house of career. And Aries rules the head. And so if I ever feel really stressed out or off my path, or if I hate my job or any periods of life that I didn't necessarily like what I was doing, I've gotten really bad migraines. I've always been really prone to migraines, but I don't get headaches anymore because I feel like I'm on the right path. You know what I mean? So even something as simple as figuring out why I was getting headaches has helped me to get rid of them.
Oh, that's so intriguing. So that's, for those who don't know about medical astrology, that's kind of touching on like a bit more on like what it is how it ties in. Okay.
Yes. Sorry if that was a bit of a tangent, but
I think it's fascinating. I'm just not sure if everyone knows exactly like what medical astrology is.
Yes.
Because everybody I think is so used to, if they know anything about astrology, it's probably the pop culture stuff where you mentioned the top three signs. So. Right.
Yes. And they don't even know what those mean most of the time. It's so funny, but Yeah, in medical astrology, every sign rules a body part. And so figuring out kind of what is causing the stress or the tension lines, and then figuring out how we can solve those things together is a really big piece of that. So,
and does that apply kind of more specifically to each person's chart, like how that would affect and manifest in their body versus just like overall, like, oh, like you said, Aries rules the head. So it would affect everybody. It wouldn't affect everybody the same because it would depend when Aries is in their chart, right?
Absolutely. Yes. Okay. Everybody's chart is going to be drastically different when it comes to all of this stuff. Aries always rules the head, but if you're prone to headaches, maybe look for where Aries is in your chart, because that might tell you what's causing your headaches. For me, it was caused by work. I didn't like my job. So headaches.
Wow. See, that makes so much sense. And that's like a great little intro. So everybody now knows a little bit more about medical astrology and how to read your chart a little better.
Yes. I mean, obviously it's so much more complicated than that, but it is a pretty basic way to say, oh, I'm feeling uncomfort here. Mm-hmm. Well, what sign rules that body part? Okay, where does that fall in my chart? What is it aspecting? How is this all created? And it can make a lot of sense, especially then if you look into the emotional body. If you have an injury, maybe what was I thinking about when I had that injury? Where is that lit up in my chart? And then why was I distracted when the injury happened during acro or whatever? It's like all kind of interconnected. And so trying to help people, not just with the medical astrology, but even just in my general readings, it's kind of where are we feeling unbalanced? And then what can we do to actually feel balanced again? How can we reverse this? And there's also comfort that I've found in understanding that it is written in your chart.
Yeah.
It's not like, it's not just a pattern that you have. It's something that maybe your soul chose to have that problem to fix it in this lifetime or whatever. If you want to look at it that way, you can look at it whatever way you want. I think I've found comfort in kind of seeing that maybe my soul chose my chart before I was born. And then what does my soul need to work on? Well, if you're given a map of everything that's going to happen to you and everything that you need to work on, why wouldn't you use it?
Right. It's like having the ability to see where you can grow in this life.
Yes.
And have this beautiful map that kind of helps navigate that thing a little bit better. So you can be like, oh, that's why I feel so drawn towards this or so repulsed by that and all that, man. See, I'm finding such comfort in our whole topics of like how the body awareness can help you step into the mental and emotional awareness. I just think it's just like so intriguing and not talked about nearly enough, even though it just makes so much sense that they tie together to have both and how you need both, because if you just have one, then you're going to be unbalanced.
Right. And yeah, I started realizing, and this is somehow kind of more of a recent realization, but I started noticing that the more you can be in touch with your physical body and the more you can take care of your physical body and listen to it, the more the mental body makes sense.
Absolutely.
Because your mental body is going to tell you everything you need. If you're thirsty, if you need water, if you're dehydrated, your body's going to tell you that. So are you listening?
Right. Are you able to pick up on those subtle cues? Sometimes they're subtle, sometimes they're not. But like, if you can pick up on the subtle stuff faster, that's going to help you mentally and emotionally as well. Right.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's a lot of importance that a lot of people don't realize is it's always going to be subtle at the beginning.
Yeah.
And a lot of people ignore the cues at the beginning until it gets worse. And something that I've found so interesting through reading medical astrology books and everything is that people had always come forward and said, well, I was getting a headache months ago, or I was feeling this a long time ago. I just never said or did anything about it, or whatever. And it's like, well, if you understood it at the very beginning and then figured out what it was that was actually causing the stress and got down to that deeper root of the emotional problem, it maybe wouldn't have manifested into a full-blown issue.
Yeah, you would have been able to catch it and maintain it a little bit easier.
Yeah, exactly. And I think more so, even since studying all of it and then being more mindful, I've noticed even little things like my hands itch when I feel uncomfortable in situations. The hands are Gemini. Gemini's my 12th house. Hidden secrets, enemies, you know, like even things like that. It's like, oh, wait, like it doesn't have to be a full blown problem. It can start with just an itch. It can be just like a tweak in the shoulder or whatever it is. There's always going to be something that is actually speaking to you, and just kind of pulling that awareness back into the physical body, I think can help to make people feel a lot more comfortable in themselves. And confidence kind of comes from a lot of that too. I think once you start really feeling comfortable with the physical body, you almost no longer care what people think.
Well, right, because you know yourself now on this whole new level to where you can trust yourself. And I feel like that's where a lot of confidence or lack of confidence, I should say, is because of that, is because we don't feel confident in knowing ourselves. And so when you know yourself, when you can trust like what your body's telling you, and you can trust what's going on in your head and your heart, like you can trust those things all together, that just brings this whole new level of confidence, like you said, to your being, to your state, because you know that you have your own back and you can take care of yourself in any situation because you can understand the information that you're receiving, and you can use that information in the space around you and how you react to people or respond and how you interact. And that, I think that that's so important.
Yeah. And it all comes back to even the communication that you learned through ACRO. Like it's all interconnected in some way or somehow. And I think all of these different realms are so interconnected too. I'm going to be getting a Reiki certification here soon. And I don't know much about Reiki, honestly, but I've felt very called to it. And I've had a lot of people tell me I should do it. So an opportunity kind of just fell in my lap, and I'm doing it. And the more I kind of look into it and realize, it's all about realigning yourself so that you can help to realign others. And it's all just energy work, but a lot of it actually stems from just mindset and letting yourself relax and open up and stretch into the difficult places and all of that stuff. And even I'm learning palm reading too. And the first thing that they said in this giant textbook that I bought myself, the first thing it kept saying was check the flexibility of the hands, because if a person has overly flexible hands, that's going to be a person who's really reckless. But a person who has like normal flexibility, like mine would be considered normal. Yeah. So you might be a little bit more open-minded.
My hands are hypermobile.
Yes. Mine's normal, which means if your hand is flat, it basically just means that you are open-minded, but also reconsider and think about your options and choices before you actually make a decision. But then if your hand is like still curled up, even if you're like trying to push it back, those are people who are extremely stubborn and set in their ways. And they said like most people, I think it was 75%, are about where mine is at, where it's like,
oh yeah,
open, but not hypermobile, which is a healthy place to be, but yeah, there are a lot of extremes. And it said the textbook spent an entire chapter just talking about the flexibility of the hand, because that can tell you so much about a person and who they are.
See, that's fascinating. And I make the connection as the massage therapist over here, like thinking about that, because I include hand massages in all my massages for the most part, and people, unless people specifically say no. But there are that, like, that coordinates so well into what I've known about my clients is the, when you mentioned the flexibility of the hands, like immediately it came to mind. There's a client that I was working on whose hand was very like stiff and kind of curled in, and it was an older person who was very strict in their ways and had very closed mindsets. And I just like that it coordinates so well. And so that's fascinating. And it seems like in your journey, you continue like to have these beautiful steps where it's like you started in the physical and you continue to kind of go into this astral realm where it's more energy. Like you're going to do Reiki and palm reading. You're learning and expanding as you go. It's like, you're literally doing it in these really cool steps. Like you're figuring out the physical, the astral, the energy.
Yes. Yes. At first I thought it was all kind of just random the way I was doing it, but it's really clicked lately. It's not random. It's all so important and so connected. And I've been noticing more and more lately, the advice I've been giving a lot of people through readings is to work out more, is to go find a creative outlet because people aren't letting themselves do that. Or It's just, it really is all so connected. And yeah, it's just being open-minded to it.
Yeah, finding what mindful movement or flow or whatever it is that can bring you that health in your body and that awareness in your body. So if you want to be more intuitive and you want to be more in the mental and the spiritual realm as well, you have to come into your own body first.
Yeah.
So getting that's like the big, big first step to then be able to go into the intuition and more.
Yeah. And I also realized recently, I had this really crazy vivid dream, which every time I have one of these vivid dreams, they're always very accurate. They always come true or happen or whatever. But I had this dream that reminded me that I used to have really terrible anxiety, and I would have these full-blown anxiety attacks. And I started thinking about it, and I was like, what does that correlate? When did I have those? Because it's been a couple years since I've had one. So I was like, what was causing those deep down now that I really understand myself? And I realized that they always happened when I was in relationships that didn't serve me, or when I was in jobs that were semi-abusive, or when I had terrible bosses, or just situations that I knew put me on the wrong path.
Yeah.
Every time I felt unaligned in life, I had panic attacks. And I thought that was just something I had to deal with in life. Like, I thought that was just something that maybe everyone dealt with, or I was like, oh, I just must have chronic anxiety. And
which is such a common thought.
Exactly. Exactly. And I totally thought that. I even looked into medication for it. Like, it was a full thing. And I realized that, yes, it is written in my chart. It is something that I am more prone to. But the anxiety actually stems from a lack of movement, because it's my Mars placement in the 12th house conjunct my ascendant that was actually causing it. And to put that in other words, basically, if my plans to work out didn't happen, or if I didn't get enough movement, or if I wasn't able to release the energy inside me, which I have a lot of energy, it would manifest into anxiety or a panic attack, or like the energy would just like create inside of me. And in situations where I felt unaligned, I felt less creative. And I felt less able to do those things. And it pushed me so far off that it was creating anxiety attacks. And it was something that I guess I just never thought about or forgotten or whatever. But something that just finally struck me as so interesting. I was like, wow, these these have gone away because I feel aligned. I feel like I'm living my purpose. I feel like I figured out my purpose because of my chart. And I've been able to fit all of the roles and create a lifestyle where I don't have to have a 9-to-5. I don't have to have routine. Every day can look drastically different. I can mostly hustle all weekend, but then maybe take Tuesday and Friday off to just chill or take a long walk. Like things like that, that I wasn't really giving myself earlier. Now I'm actually listening to my body and saying, oh, like maybe I actually do need a night off, or maybe I should eat a little better. Whatever it is, it's all solvable. And I think the people who think it's not are the people that have the hands,
flexible hands.
Flexible hands. Kind of bringing that full circle, because it really does put you into a mindset of thinking that you're never going to be able to get there. You know what I mean? Or like things are impossible. But
well, if you become stuck in your body like that, like I just want to touch back on the first part of what you're talking about, because that I feel is so, so prevalent to, especially today, where people are very stagnant. And they don't find this mindful movement. They don't find the movement that brings them joy. And they start, I mean, I see this in myself. I see this in my partner, Matt. He would tell me whenever he was feeling grumpy that I should tell him to do a backflip because well, he can, but also because it would get him out of state and get him like something that makes him smile. And the same thing goes for me. I notice when I start to get anxiety, if I like meditate, because that does it, that's something that helps me because I'm so in tune with my body at this point and I can do that. But also if I take a walk in nature, if I do these things that bring me mindful movement and get me out of my stuck, stagnant anxiety energy, it totally changes my state. And so you saying that just like, it just hit me so hard, because I feel like so many people feel like they have to rely on certain things for anxiety. And for certain people that could probably be exactly right. I am not a doctor. I cannot diagnose, but for many of us, just figuring out what brings us out of that state can shift us hugely. And I feel like that's not something that's really dove into too much yet. And it's not popular in society at this point in time to talk about that kind of stuff too much, but it's such a huge thing.
And I love that topic too, because I think modern medicine has kind of taught society that there's always going to be a very quick, easy fix, but we don't necessarily know what's in this medication that they're giving us. And sometimes the side effects, like I am prone to side effects. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Like I have had every terrible side effect that happened from medication that didn't even solve the problem I needed it to solve. And I'm absolutely not a medical professional or a doctor or any of that. And I also kind of hate the stigma. Like when you say medical astrology, people go straight to, oh, woo woo, fake doctor, whatever, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's really not like that. And I hate that there even is a stigma, because realizing, oh, I get headaches because I'm stressed out about work. Who is that hurting that I now understand that about myself and can take a little time off if I need to? Or the first thing I do with people when I do full chart readings is I go to that little box in the very corner of the whole chart wheel that gives you the elements and the modalities. And I talk to people about the elements that they're missing and the elements that they, it's kind of like a lack or abundance mindset type thing. Mm-hmm. So I have the most air in my chart. I have a lot of air. So being social, communicating, talking, all of that comes pretty naturally to me. I have the second most water. And so feeling emotions and being intuitive also comes pretty naturally to me. But I think because I have so much water, sometimes I don't feel like tapping into the emotions, or I feel like I'm maybe not overly emotional, but it feels balanced to me. But fire is my chart ruler. So I am very fiery, very passionate. Aries is definitely my dominant when it comes to like personality and all that. But when it comes to Earth, I only have two Capricorn placements, and they are generational placements. It's Uranus and Neptune. So anyone born within 15 years of me have those two, you know? So it's not personal to me. And so I would consider myself not having any Earth. And so I talk to people about that, because when I feel ungrounded, which is often because I'm not grounded, I go for a walk in nature. I go for a hike. And I always give people homework based off of the element that they're missing, because sometimes they don't realize they're missing it. Like if you don't have fire, you're unmotivated. You probably don't want to go to the gym, but you know what would make you feel better? Going to the gym. Easy fix.
I remember when you read my chart for me, we found that water was missing, which like kind of shook me, because I didn't realize when you said that. And then we discovered it. I am such a water person. I find my happiness by water. Like whenever I'm on white water or whatever it may be, like that just is where I'm like most happy for the most part. And so, yeah, like you pointed out in that reading, it's like, well, that makes sense because that helps you find balance.
Yes. We crave the element that we are lacking. We seek out the element that we don't have because we don't have it. And so there's a part of us, and you become your chart when you're 30. So often when I do readings for people who are younger, I do have to say, hey, if any of this doesn't resonate, take notes. It will in 5 years. But for people who are 30 or even like 27 to 31 in that range of the change, or anytime after 31, oftentimes they've figured it out. Like you said, oh, I'm constantly going to the beach or seeking out water. That's where I want to be on vacations. I have a lot of water, so I don't seek that out. Like the beach is pretty. I like to go there and take some acro photos, but I could not sit there all day. My Aries moon would be like, okay, I'm bored. What's next? Like, let's go here now.
Yeah.
And I love the nature aspect of it, and I think it's beautiful, but it doesn't, sitting in water doesn't do much for me, because I have that element. It's the intuitive side is there. The water is there. And so it's really interesting to see how it manifests so differently in other people, because yeah, not having any water is going to turn you into a person that's constantly seeking out hydration or long showers, or even take a bath, watch a sad movie and cry. Like I always give homework based off of the elements missing. And I think even that itself can be so healing, kind of pulling that back to the medical astrology realm. Just because you hear the word medical astrology, it just means that certain signs rule certain body parts. And those body parts are going to be lit up, whether for better or for worse, throughout your life. And I always joke too, like your ascendant sign, whatever body part is ruled by the rising, is the body part that rules you. And so most people either have a really weak or really strong body part. So mine's Cancer. And so Cancer rules the stomach and the breast. So breast cancer can tend to run in families that have Cancer rising ascendants or whatever. But also like stomach issues. But I've always had a very strong stomach, even to a point where people have joked about how I can eat anything and not have any issues. So for me, it's manifested more on the stronger side. But it's more because I've always been kind of more aligned with who I am. And I always joke, like, I've never met a Virgo rising that didn't have digestive issues, or you're a Capricorn rising, right? It's that's the knees and the bones. So you either have really strong knees and bones, or your knees are going to be an issue throughout life, or you might break bones easily.
I've never broken a bone, but up until I was in massage school, they made me get over this fear. But I, for no good reason whatsoever, I mean, even the instructor of the university, he was just like, this is weird. You're weird. Because I would get freaked out if anyone would come close to touching my knees, like absolutely freak out. for no reason. And I didn't even think that was a weird thing until somebody was doing a massage on me in massage school. I'm like, oh no, don't touch my knees. And they're like, what? Like, that's not normal. So there we go.
Yeah. And everyone, it's really funny. If you even bring up the body part associated with the rising sign, everyone has a story about it.
Goodness. See, that's so fascinating. Getting to know yourself better through your own chart and how that can help you and heal you, at least give you some understanding, if nothing else. So.
Sure. Well, it can also make sense to, oh, I'm a Capricorn rising. I might have knee problems. If I feel unaligned in life, maybe I should take care of my knees and joints a little bit better, or the bones, or whatever it is. It's always something. And I think going back to that, like, that's why medical astrology scares people, because they're so afraid of things that don't make sense or the unknown. But we're not trying to diagnose people here. We're not trying to any of that. It's just bringing an awareness to the body part that might be more prone to injury in your life, which is healthy.
And I mean, everybody take what you want and leave what you don't want. Take what resonates, leave what doesn't, and take everything with a grain of salt on what works for you. But I think it is so impressive. Like you mentioned the knees. I didn't know that. And that, like, you just have to figure out what resonates for you and how that aligns in your story. And I think it's just so interesting how astrology and tarot, for me, runes, you and I had talked about that. I've gotten really into runes lately. You find what works for you and you like take what you can, because it can enhance and align you so much if you choose to listen to it. It's fascinating. Sure.
Well, and it's so interesting too. And going back to the body part thing, when I had my workshop last weekend, I did a Learn Astrology full workshop. And I was kind of like, I was talking about that, how the body part that rules the ascendant is either strong or weak. And there were several Libra risings in the room and they were all like, I'm prone to UTIs. And I was like, and they all said it. And I was like, huh, because Libra rules the bladder. So I was like, oh,
would you look at that?
One that I had never thought about before, but the whole room was like, oh yeah, me too. And I was like, that was, it's so funny how
it can all tie together like that.
Yeah, it's always accurate. And it's always so funny, but it kind of gave everybody a topic of, oh, me too. Something that we can connect over, even though it's not necessarily a good thing. And yeah, it's so interesting. It kind of, even in a weird way, like pulls out a community side.
Oh, and absolutely. Because then people don't feel as alone and they feel more understood and seen.
Yes. And I think that's the biggest thing that pulled me down any of these routes, whether it's dance or acro or astrology or tarot or any of it, even Reiki and all of the outlets. The thing that kind of is underlined is giving you a way of communicating. It's giving you community. It's giving you a way to feel heard and seen, because I can't even tell you how many chart readings I've done where people have looked at me and said, it took you 5 minutes to say what it took my therapist 3 or 4 years to figure out about me. And I'm like, well, yeah, because your therapist wasn't calling you out on this. They were waiting for you to say it. And I'm looking at it. So I'm going to call you out on it.
Right.
I'm gonna tell you.
Yeah. So. Different relationship too, where like, yeah, they, like you said, they want you as a therapist. They want you to realize it for yourself.
Sure. Yeah.
It is nice though, for somebody to kind of call you out sometimes, depending on your personality. But a lot of times you feel seen in some ways. And so that is, I think, so powerful and so important for so many people to feel that.
And I think there's a beauty too in when you do readings for people who you can tell don't want to be called out on some of that stuff.
Yeah.
You can usually go about it in a nicer way, or, you know, like I've had readings where people sit down and they're like, all right, read me to filth. And I'm like, all right, cool. I like your energy. Let's go. And those people, I can be like, oh, you have daddy issues or whatever it is. And I can say it in the, like, I don't want to say meanest way, but like the most blunt. Direct. Yeah, I can be really blunt with them because they're funny and I know that they're going to laugh and I know it's going to be an interaction that means a lot to them and that's going to come back around as is a good experience. Whereas there are people who are very timid and they're like, I don't want to know about this. And I'm like, okay, I won't tell you about this. Like,
yeah,
we can all, I'm going to meet you where you are. And I have so many people, especially with tarot, who come into the shop and they're like, oh, I'm scared. And I'm like, of what? Like, tarot is absolutely just a tool to help unlock the subconscious. I always say that tarot, if you don't know what you want, they always say flip a coin, because in the moment the coin is flipping, you know what you're rooting for. You know what you want.
Yes.
That's how I see tarot. It's just like that quote, because if you don't like the outcome from the card, change it. There's free will involved. But it might give you a different perspective that you maybe weren't seeing otherwise. And I think that, I mean, because they do pull off of your energy and they, I always think that they do give you a message that whether you wanted it or not, they're going to give you, and maybe you needed to hear it or whatever it is. So there's absolutely nothing to be scared of. It's just an understanding.
Right. As you're saying that, I just kept getting this like feeling of, a lot of the times I feel like the people who probably are scared are people who are maybe not so in touch with their intuition yet, or they're blocking their intuition because of whatever they're scared of. They're like, what are you scared of hearing? What are you scared of feeling? What are you scared of moving past and forward? And yeah, so it feels like they're kind of getting in their own way. So maybe they're not so in tune with themselves yet as to what they need to align to.
And I actually had a conversation with a good friend who's also a medium once, and this really stuck with me. I thought this was really cool, but she was trying to convince me to start doing Akashic record readings and more mediumship type stuff, which I don't feel necessarily ready to offer to do yet. And I was like, well, what happens if somebody comes in and their energy is completely blocked? Because I have that occasionally with tarot.
Yeah.
And I take much more of a traditional approach to reading the cards. So when somebody's energy is blocked and I'm not getting much out of them, I can just focus on the cards and tell them what the cards mean and hope that they got something that resonates from it. Because those are usually the people who don't talk at all, or the skeptics who sit there like, prove me wrong. And I'm like, well, I don't like that energy. I'm not here to prove you anything. I'm here to help you talk through a problem.
Yeah.
So I was asking, like, with a medium reading, I couldn't imagine, what do you say? Because I can at least rely on the cards. I can say, well, this card means this. And I can talk about each card for at least an hour. So I was like, okay, like, I can rely on that. But what do you even do if somebody's energy is blocked and you're trying to give them a medium reading? And she goes, well, then that's the reading. And I was like, what do you mean? And she goes, that's it. If their energy is so blocked that you can't get anything, not a single message for them, that's their reading. And so it's really interesting because she's right.
Right. I mean, imagine, I can easily imagine like somebody telling me like, your energy is so blocked that you're not letting anything through. And that's easy, I feel like, to imagine, because I feel like we've all kind of been there at some point in our life, one way or another, where we're just like totally blocking ourselves from our path, what we really desire, whatever it may be. And so that makes a lot of sense that you would share that with them, because that would at least wake them up to, if they weren't already aware, now they're getting called out on it.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
and that can be powerful.
Yeah. And a very similar thing happened to me. My first tarot reading that I really ever did professionally, I had worked on friends and whatever before, but the first one that I did for real, I got nothing. I just felt nothing from her. There was just a complete wall. And I said that. I was like, I don't feel anything here. I mean, I can tell you what the cards mean, but this just feels blocked. And she was like, yeah, I'm so blocked. And it just all spilled out how unaligned she was feeling. And I was like,
wow.
Okay. Like that was the reading. Sometimes people just need to hear, like, your energy is so blocked that I'm getting nothing. And I think that really can have the power to wake people up to being more aware of their body and how they're coming off to others. And because, I mean, not even when it comes to giving readings, you've met people in your life that are just so blocked that you're like, okay, you don't want to meet me, like in any situation, anywhere, probably. Even people pass in the grocery store, like everybody, you're going to get that from anyone at certain points in life. So some people are just so closed off that it does make it really difficult, but it all kind of comes full circle eventually. So sometimes that's the reading.
That makes sense. And like you're saying, like when you're closed off, think it's easy to understand how that would manifest in the body as well as the mental and the emotional and the spiritual way. Because if you block yourself off, I feel like in any of those, it's going to start affecting all of it.
Yes. Yeah. It's, well, and it's interesting because the people who block themselves off that hard, those are also typically the same people that manifest illness or disease or whatever, and all of that type of stuff too. And there's almost no way to help them sometimes.
Well, because they have to help themselves, whether that's like they're going to a doctor or, you know, hopefully as well, they're starting to do self-study and self-awareness and become aware of their body and their emotional state and how that's affecting everything. Cause it absolutely correlates. So, sure. Yeah.
Yeah. And just understanding too, from medical astrology can tell you what you're more prone to in your life and what you're not going to have to ever worry about. So even though the awareness of that can help you say, okay, going back to yours, like if Capricorn rules the bones, what vitamin can I take to strengthen the bones? Because that could be a problem area in my life. Like even little things like that can just bring very basic, very general awareness.
And help so much in the end. Like exactly. It just improve your life in ways that you may not even expect. So sure. Why not be open to it? It's not going to hurt you.
Absolutely. Even if it's a placebo effect, think about how strong that is.
Oh my gosh. Absolutely.
Yeah. So even just thinking, oh, I'm going to take this gummy vitamin every day to help this or whatever it is, it can eventually pull you for full circle.
That makes so much sense. Well, speaking of pulling things full circle, I would love it if you would share some, because I know you do so much. So to help people get introduced, your acro stuff, your workshops that you do, if you would mention some, like where people could find all of that information, as well as the spiritual side with tarot and astrological readings and all the awesome things that you're offering right now and how to find you, I think that would just be awesome.
Yeah, sure. So Instagram is probably the easiest way to find me, connect with me, watch my videos if you're interested in that. Or whatever. I occasionally post some astrology updates and stuff like that too. So that's going to be Lori, LORIK _127. I have a website as well. It's linked in my Instagram bio, but it's just my name, Lori Kaufman, KAUFMAN, 27.com. And all of the details are on there. If you're local in Cincinnati, most of what I do is in person. So I teach weekly classes and all of that's going to be linked on Instagram as well. I am hoping to expand and start teaching online astrology courses because I've been teaching a lot of in-person ones, which are going well. And I've had a lot of people asking who aren't necessarily local or can't make it. So I am looking into starting to do that. I offer personalized horoscopes that are written if you're more interested in that. I do readings over Zoom if you're not in Cincinnati. All of it is on there, so you can send me a message if you have questions.
Yeah, you offer so many great things, and I can't speak highly enough for the Acro. We've done workshops together, and it's so much fun. I highly recommend doing that. And as well as the personalized horoscope reading, she just did one for me, and it was so detailed and so neat. And it covers like the month coming up, and which is just so helpful. So definitely give her a look at least. Go check her out on her website, on her Instagram. She's always posting cool stuff, and you can even see that pop video that she was talking about the other day.
Yeah, that like was the so second cool. or third one.
Yeah, that was awesome. So definitely go check her out on Instagram if you can. And yeah, guys, thank you so much for tuning in today. I hope you got some good nuggets from this on just how to tie into your mental, your physical, and your emotional side a little bit better, and how it can be fun, playful, creative. And you can definitely find some of those hacks through Lori's page. So go check her out. And as always, if you have any questions or just want to chat, you can always find me at _findingenough on Instagram as well. Thanks for tuning in, guys. Namaste.